Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Walk Your Talk with Leanne here on Life Coach Radio Network. It is a beautiful, chilly December 18th, 2014, and I am super privileged to be here with you today. This is my last show of 2014. I can't believe it. It has been an amazing year of learning, of discovery, of encouragement, and of challenge in my life. And I really appreciate you all tuning in for each of my shows to hear from myself, Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk Coach, as well as all my beautiful guests that I have had the privilege of introducing you to this year in 2014. You know, as we are getting ready to close up this year and open up an exciting 2015, it is just an incredible encouragement and, again, challenge to really take a look back over these last 12 months, see if the goals that you set for yourself, the dreams and desires that you proposed in January were actually realized here by the end of 2014, and then ask your question. If not, why not? And if you have a desire to talk more about that, I invite you to reach out to me. You can find me on Facebook and LinkedIn and Pinterest and Twitter and at my phone. You can reach me at 505-412-1817. If you have any questions or wonder about coaching or how do you get out of your own way in 2015, to really start realizing your dreams and your best life. I am a life and leadership coach. I am based here in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and I love to work within the tapestry of adoption. I've got a couple of real neat adoption projects coming up to be of service to the adoption constellation. I have a film project coming up. I'll be doing a lot of research and interviews and collecting data. So if that's an area that touches your life or your heart, or you'd like to know more about it, I want to encourage you to reach out to me as well in that arena. And so today we are super duper privileged here on Life Coach Radio Network to bring an amazing show to you. I have been so incredibly privileged to have some great guests on my program, and in all of my comings and goings and my travels as a coach, I have met some of the most amazing people, and one of those amazing women is here with me today on Walk Your Talk with Leanne, and her name is Julie Claire. And before I introduce Julie, I want to offer up a phone number to our listeners. If you have a question for myself or for Julie, I want to invite you to call in and share your thoughts or comments or questions with us. And that guest call-in number is 646-716-9397. And for those of you who have been around for a while and tuned in to our programming here on Life Coach Radio Network, you know that I love to keep conversation very natural, very real, and I love to look around the globe and see who is it out there who's walking their talk, who is living their legacy, and really desires to make an impact in the world close to them, as well as far-reaching across the globe. And one such woman is Julie Claire. And Julie Claire is a fellow colleague of mine. She is a coach as well as an artist whose life work is combining the power of coaching with creativity, helping men and women live more creative and courageous lives. And I absolutely love that empowerment. And so, Julie, welcome to Walk Your Talk with Leanne.
Hello, Leanne. I am so psyched to be here.
Ah, I'm so psyched to have you here. You know, Julie, you and I met each other, gosh, it's been a year ago now. And we met each other down in Santa Fe at one of the International Coaching Federation of New Mexico gatherings. And I was just immediately drawn to you, your beautiful energy, your smile, and the way you warmly welcomed me into the ICF group that day. It was the first time I had ever attended a meeting like that with the ICF, and you were just right there with a warm smile and hug and really appreciate our initial connection as well as our ongoing friendship and camaraderie. So thanks for agreeing to be here with me.
Oh my gosh, you are so welcome. I'm just always witnessed your light, your brightness, your joy from the first time I saw you. I was so like so glad that we were going to be sharing that ICF space together. I still am every time we come into the room together. So I think it's actually quite amazing that this has happened. This is happening, that we're actually going to talk on the radio about creativity and stuff. And I can't wait to hear where you are with all of this and creativity and living big. So I'm looking forward to your idea of a casual conversation. I'm jumping in with you.
Yay! Well, fantastic. I love it. Well, and you know, what I have learned about you, Julie, is not only do you coach individuals and groups, but you also enjoy mentoring professionals and professional coaches, helping us get out of our own way as coaches and embrace creativity and bring it into our coaching sessions, a more creative approach, as well as the people that you work with. And I just think that's just so amazing. And you know what? I loved your title that we have for our show today about paint big and live big. And I'm super curious, how did you come up with the name Paint Big, Live Big for your work with people?
You know, that comes directly from my own personal experience of painting. It was probably around 2005, and I really had a moment when it showed up for me that I got, and I saw as I was painting, and that as I was painting, my life was opening up. And it was one of those moments where I'm like, my God, since I've started to paint in this way, in this kind of large format, which is what I do with other people now, I am standing in my life in a different way. And it really was about painting big, living big for me. And so it really came from that personal moment of seeing the effect of painting on living. And then over the years, as I've seen who comes to work with me and what I'm doing with people, it seems really clear that it really is in that area of life about kind of trusting without knowing, all the things that happen in a painting that are also happening in people's lives, step in and all that, you know, take a step in more courageously or think a little outside the box and not be so taken over by their critic. It's this very similar territory, what happens in painting, that happens in our lives when we're wanting to step up in a new way, and I really got that. So I just went for it. I said, all right, I'm calling all this work Paint Big, Live Big, because I think it's all in this territory of kind of expansion, really. So that's where the name came from, and it just stuck. Like, I think because it means something to me, it just sticks for me.
I love that. You know, I think that is such a beautiful picture. You know, when you talk about the effect of painting on living, you know, my business name is Legacy Now Live. And so it totally resonates with me, that whole creative piece and about how we don't need to wait until tomorrow to start living our lives full out and to live big. And, you know, that really does release a tremendous amount of freedom in us when we let ourselves go into that place. And it really releases a lot of creativity then and starts to reduce a tremendous amount of stress. And so when you hear the word creative, and you are a creative, intuitive coach, what I would love to hear what being creative means to Julie Claire.
Yeah, it means a lot. You know, I think in a primary way, how I relate to creativity as I relate to it, I think I would say something about how I open up to myself, how I open myself up to something beyond my control. I think that's some essential part of creativity to me is right there, is that there's this flow in life that I'm not controlling, that I didn't make myself, that just is. And if I stop censoring, if I can find a way to relate to it without evaluating, it really feels like I'm outside a box, I'm outside some kind of ABC kind of formula of life, and I'm in this playing ground of the muse and creativity. And it doesn't have to be huge, but it can be small, just from opening myself up to something and realizing I'm going to drive another way. I'm going to take a long way to my studio. And just all of a sudden I can feel it. It's like I'm part of a flow. I'm part of a rhythm that's not just about what's efficient or what the way to drive is. So it applies to art for sure, but it really applies to how I think all of us can engage with life from a place that's not so singular and so defined. And so, yeah, I would say it's kind of like tapping into a source, like the source of life somehow. And, yeah, in painting that can be with colors coming through, images coming through. But in life it might be all of a sudden we have a solution to something that we don't even know where it came from, but we're tapping into something a little larger than just ourselves. So, so I think that's a lot of creativity to me, is that opening, letting go of control, and I think having that inside-to-outside experience, that going inside, coming from inside. And something I often call it, you know, going below the neck. You know, like let's go below the neck. Let's connect. Let's say, hey, I'm part of something larger. I'm going below my neck. I've got this body. I don't have to know myself into life. I don't have to know everything before I do it. I don't have to know what I'm going to paint. Creativity to me is, you know, can almost be a vulnerable place, but it's a place of being in a flow. So really, I think a lot of it is getting out of our own way. It's like creativity is when I'm out of my own way, when I'm out of the control of my thoughts, thinking I have to be smart and figure it out. So I think that's another way of putting it, is it's not about figuring it out when I'm being creative. It's about having it happen, you know, letting it happen.
You know,
for you, Leanne, how do you relate to that? Does that ring a bell, or does that ring true for you, or?
Great question. Totally. You know what was really coming up for me as you were sharing all of that, Julie, was you said something I thought was super interesting. You said being in the flow and creating and allowing things to happen, giving up that control without evaluating Byron ABC. And wow, that really spoke to me. And I was thinking about how, even this time of year, right, where we think I've got a checklist. I've got to work it. I've got to do ABC before I can do XYZ. And really that stuff in the middle, I'm missing it. Right? We get so wrapped up in the outcome of our different experiences that we miss the journey in between. And so that really came up for me when you were sharing just about that letting go, that opening ourselves up to what is beyond our control, trusting that process and not being super caught up in the outcome. And I'm sure that is such a beautiful approach to painting. You know, I had another guest on my show, Julie, a while back. He was an artist, woodcarver friend of mine. And he is really super creative, like you are. He's been an artist for many years, and he goes into the woods and he grabs, you know, he looks at this West Texas juniper, a tree that's, you know, fallen on the ground, and it is, in the world's eyes, it's decaying. And he can look at this tree and he sees something inside of that tree, right? He really feels like God just kind of gives him a vision for what is contained in that wood that needs to be released. And it's super amazing what he comes up with. And, oh, this is pretty amazing. You're not even going to believe this, that his wife just texted me. And she said thinking about me today. Okay, I love creative synergy. I just had to throw that out there. So, hi, White family, I don't know if you're listening or not, but I don't think so. But there you go. Pretty amazing. But, you know, Julie Claire, I can imagine in your world, in working with people, helping them get let go of that inner critic in us that keeps us wrapped up in the ABC to get to the XYZ, that can be kind of a challenge because we are so list-driven or rule-driven that it can really stump our creativity. It creates a tremendous amount of stress. I think especially within the creative world, if we think it has to look or be a certain way, instead of it just, like you said, opening up our lives and let the painting come out of us. And so I would love to hear your thoughts on that and what comes up for people during your workshops, because I know you do group things as well as individuals. And so what comes up for the people when they see that blank canvas in front of them?
Well, God, there's so much in what you just said. I'm going to try to remember that question you just asked me. I'm not going to lose that. And I wanted to say that when you shared your story about the fellow walking in the woods and finding that piece of a tree that spoke to him in a way, and he could start seeing what it wanted to be, you know, become creatively and how it would become part of his work. To me, that's a really great example of not having the original intention. You know, he didn't go out saying, I'm looking for a, you know, 4-inch branch that's maybe medium brown color that I can use for my teapot handle. You know, he was going out maybe with, oh, I'd love to get something to work with this or that, but letting the moment inform him, like, oh, look at that. That's what I could do with that. You know, it's almost like the wood had its own voice. So it's very similar to the intuitive process painting work I do with people. And also just having people draw pastels during a coaching session, just a little drawing or something to just look at it and go, wow, what's coming from that? So, for instance, the how I liken it to that story with him in the woods in a painting workshop, you know, you might be in the workshop and you might be painting on a large piece of black paper and you're painting with acrylic paint. And, you know, you've worked it to where you know you don't know what you're going to do, so you start painting. And at a certain point, you're engaged in the painting. If you get stuck, I come by and help you get unstuck, and we work it together so you're not all on your own there, whether or not you're just, if it's one-on-one or a group workshop. But what happens often is something will show up, and all of a sudden you realize, oh, wow, that looks like a tree. You know, you're just painting. You didn't intend to it. And, you know, that does or doesn't interest you. You keep painting. But sometimes something happens, and you go, oh, my God, that reminds me of a tree, and it's exactly what I was feeling or something. I'm really interested in that tree. And so maybe you kind of continue to let it be a tree, maybe paint it to where it is a little bit more of a tree. But the focus now is on this process. It's not in some idea you originally had coming into the studio. So it is this kind of unfolding. So that's why it feels like everyone could do this kind of intuitive painting, because it is process-oriented. It is, let's just start. Let's find a way to keep going. And let's kind of playfully see what shows up. It could just be color that shows up, but it could be an image. And I think what the main thing that, you know, we all confront when we're going to do something like this is fear. Oh, my God, you know, what if nothing happens? You know, what if I just make something ugly? You know, there's all kinds of fears. And but I'm just curious, have you been in a situation that where you just started drawing and all of a sudden you saw something appearing, or would that be a new situation for you, if you were in that, like if all of a sudden you were in that workshop and that was happening, would that be a brand new experience or something you've experienced? Because I'm curious for you, Leanne, because most of the people I work with, they haven't, well, I'd say a good majority haven't painted since they were kids. And so it's very, very exciting. Things just have a way of happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't had, to be honest. Thanks for the question. And you're really making me think. Because I really haven't just sat down and gotten uber-duber creative and tried to paint and just let things happen. You know, I can share with you, though, about we did a little outreach here in our community for different women in our community to come in. We gave them a blank piece of canvas. They got to pick a picture, right, that they wanted to paint, and then we provided all the materials for them in order to do that. And I remember that when I set out to do my painting, I was so grateful that there was a stencil to use that I could copy.
Yeah.
I didn't have to think about what I was going to create. It was already decided for me. And as I'm hearing you share, I'm like, wow, what is in that for us, that ABC process? Like you talked about, I knew what my picture was going to look like or my painting was going to look like when it was done. And so I was okay to start, but boy, was I glad for a stencil. I was glad I didn't have to freehand it. And I'm a pretty creative individual, but this is not an area that I've explored a lot. But you know what was interesting, Julie, is when I was creating it, I thought, I wish I didn't have this limit. I already drew it on my canvas. And now I feel like I can't change it because it's already sketched on there. So that was what was really coming up for me when you were talking about, you know, that inner critic, those fears that come up. And so for me, that fear was whatever I leave with, people are watching me. And I don't want mine to look like, you know, a big, you know, like someone just, you know, threw up all over my canvas. I wanted it to look like something when I left. And so how is it that you experience that fear issues within your classes or within your coaching practice? Is that common? Am I weird on that? Am I rare?
No, I mean, completely. It's completely what people come in with come when they come in to the studio or the office, you know, to work with me. I think that, absolutely. I mean, on the one hand, I feel like I see a lot of people, you know, me included, that, you know, we're afraid that something might not happen, you know, like I need a stencil, I need a formula because I don't know what I would paint. And what I would say to that and what I say to people is, like, welcome to the club. None of us know. We're all together in this. We don't know what we're going to paint. And that means we're kind of in the right place if we want to do this kind of process painting. So first off, it's just really saying that's actually where we all are. And if anybody in the room thinks they know what they're going to paint, you know, you have the opportunity to, you know, inviting them to, you can actually drop it. And, you know, it's almost like getting naked a little bit. But the key, I think, to the kind of play that I do with people is to first create a sacred space. So it wouldn't be that, you know, that you would feel watched if you were in the workshop. It would feel, the hope is, you know, the art for me in doing the workshops is creating this environment where it is the sacred circle, so we're together. So yeah, we're all coming to it from that place you just spoke about. We all in some ways want to have something that tells us, you know, the paint by numbers. Part of us wants to be able to get it right. So the environment, my work is to create an environment where we can let that go and we can drop down a little, go a little deeper. You know, I've got candles going in the room. I've got the part of the space is that when people talk, when we start we start the workshop with a check-in and with me talking about a little bit about what it is we're going to be doing together and really saying that being a beginner is exactly what we're all going to be here today. So first off, it's just saying let's all be beginners. Second is that when we check in and we share, that no one directly responds. You just speak and we all listen. And you just speak and listen. It could just be, hey, you know, I'm Julie. I'm here. You know, I'd really like to discover what might happen if I don't have the stencils. I feel like a total beginner. And it's scary, you know. And so we just let that be. And then I ask the next person. So we all come together in that kind of very similar place of we're going to be a little vulnerable together. Well, in that way, no, you'd be completely smack dab in the middle with all of us. And then, you know, I read some poetry. I do a little movement. And then by the time we get to the painting, I have some gentle music going in the background. And I walk. I walk everyone through a short meditation to get us started. And by then, you realize the setup is really about allowing something to happen that we just can't imagine and not to worry about it. And then the trick is if somebody starts getting stuck or starts worrying, I can usually see that. And I can come by and say, hey, you know, what's going on and how's it going? And there's all kinds of things that I can do with people, from having them paint with their hands to paint with their non-dominant hand, to use a palette knife instead of a brush, to use a sponge. There's all kinds of ways that help different people get free. So there's a lot I can do. So that's my work, is how to partner with individuals in the group setting so that they don't feel like they have to get stuck or know anything, and they can just keep painting. And so that's how the whole workshop is oriented. And when you spoke, I thought, you know, if someone watches me, that's terrifying. If someone like, all right, here I am painting and someone's watching me, it'd be like, ah. But if I thought, wow, we're all in this together, none of us know what we're doing, we're all in our own process, and we you know, in sharing how this is not about the outcome, it's about really getting over our fear of not being able to do it or not being good enough, it makes a really big difference. I really think that half of this work is in the sacred space, is in the trust factor, is in the being able to let down, being seen from the outside. And also, like, no one will come up to anybody. You know, one of the rules is no one says that they like someone else's painting. So no one will come up to you and say, I like your painting. And you'll know that that's not happening for anybody else. So it's really about taking all that, even positive evaluation, kind of out of the process and just enjoying that we're willing to go to these scary places together in the same room. And, you know, I think it's really rare in a way, unless you do this kind of process painting. Most art classes aren't set up like this. It's, you know, and some people wouldn't want this, you know, but when you spoke about it, I thought, you know, I think that speaks to me when you talked about the stencil and things, is like, God, we were born as these wildly creative, kind of, we got this amazing connection to making things, you know, design. So to get out of the way and to take all those standards off about what a tree is supposed to look like, what a sky is supposed to look like kids can do, but bring it into the adult world. I don't know. I think I'm staking my flag here as being kind of the area of my life's work. And with coaching clients, it's very similar about how do we get unsmart for a moment? You know, how do we get unstenciled in our life? How do we reconnect to that kind of undomesticated wildness inside? This is really, my whole life's kind of about this. So when you speak, no, you would not be unusual. You would not be different. You would be completely smack dab in the right place at the right time. It's lovely to hear you share that, because it just gives me this fire in my belly of I so want to have people see how without the stencils, they're amazing. You know, the stencils are fun. I like stencils, but to be able to share, when we share who we are with paint, we can be so surprised by what's really there. And same in our lives, you know, when we get out of some of the conditioning and some of the brainwashing and some of the formulas we think we have to live by, and we connect really to who we uniquely are, what might happen, you know? Yeah. So that's me. So thank you for sharing that, Leanne. I think if you can hear it, I think it's that sacred space. It can be playful and funny, but there's a real dedicated listening to it, and it definitely is definitely not wanting to have an environment where somebody feels watched or, you know, that what they're painting is being seen as some kind of end, you know, product in itself. And that being said, man, you should see the paintings that show up. It's crazy, the paintings that show up with people who don't know how to paint.
What a cool space that you provide. And it sounds, you know, just hearing you share and what I know about you, you provide a real safe place for these people to explore all of that. Because like you said, it really is sacred. And you know what I love about that word? Is if you mix up the letters, it's the same letters as in scared.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, it's the exact same letters. It's just shifting it around a little bit. And so much of the work that we do as coaches is that sacred work of shifting and helping others to shift. And, you know, when you were sharing as well, Julie, you talked about, I was taking some notes here, just that sacred space and really releasing, what I heard come out of you was really releasing that judgment. And when you were asking me earlier about what I believe about creativity and all of that, you know, I believe that creativity comes from a place of non-judgment as well. And I don't think that if we are constantly being, you know, focused on the outcome, or if somebody's watching us, or if we're going to get the praise or the criticism, whatever that is just such a judgment-driven attitude. We're looking for affirmations, validation, you know, somebody giving us some direction all the time, because we've stopped thinking for ourselves in some ways.
Yeah.
And it sounds like your painting and coaching process helps to release some of that. And I think when we do, we can come from a place of non-judgment. And I truly, you know, in my coaching process that I take people through, that's, we really start to figure out where the judgments are showing up for us, why they're there, and how it's working for us, to be honest with you. Because oftentimes we can come from such a place of a judgment that we will not let ourselves step into anything new, try anything new, even a new way of thinking, let alone a new creative modality such as painting. And so, you know, that's kind of my take on that as well is, holy cow, if we can let go of the judgment and worry about somebody watching us or critiquing our own work, but
yeah,
just enjoying it for what it is, then we're truly tapping into that creative space.
It's so true, and I think the I'm right there with you. The that the role of the inner critic, you know, as coaches, that's just a primary energy that we work with. And I think we all have our unique personalities and backgrounds as coaches to help people dance with that, or to you know not have that stop them. And my own included. Mm. I mean, I think I do this work because, you know, it's really what I've always needed. I've been incredibly harsh on myself as a perfectionist growing up about my paintings and my drawings not looking good enough or what they were supposed to be. And I never wanted to be a painter. I was a musician. And so I'm a perfect kind of coaching client for you or myself. So it's like, so how do I begin to trust that there is something of value in here when I play with color? And it's, partly it's now not being seen through my teacher's eyes. Now my teacher's eyes. But another thing there is in life, too, how do I trust myself and go about creating this work in a way that's unique to me, that is really how I want to do it, you know, from materials to all of it. It's a constant challenge. And, you know, you have the inner critic saying you've got to do it this way, you've got to do it that way. And it's continually coming back to that place of inside there's some brilliance, some light that wants to come out and wants to connect, and it's not necessarily scripted. It won't necessarily look like another process painting class. It's going to be kind of birthed from me in relationship to the people that I'm working with. So, yeah, inner critic is just, it's big in life. It's big in painting. And I think, God, when we find a way to relate to it in the workshops, one of the things I don't do, I would say, is, you know, in terms of working with the inner critic, and it really is really spot on working with this with the painting, because it just shows up immediately when we start painting, is that people want to kill their inner critic. They want to, you know, get rid of it. They want to somehow just overcome it without having to listen to it. And there's all kinds of ways of working with the inner critic, but for me, it has a lot to do with, you know, becoming aware of it, hearing what it has to say, actually turning to it, listening, and finding a way to go, wow, and really understanding that the inner critic is coming from a place of trying to keep us all safe and in familiar ground and in the conditioned zone and appropriate and quote-unquote right and smart and good and all that kind of conditioning. And when we just go, great, I get it. You know, when we find a way to hear it and see it, and then to go, and you know what, I'm just painting, or I'm just taking a little step here in my life. So I'm safe, I'm good, thanks for showing up, but now I'm really going to play and go a little wild. It's like, so for me, a lot of the work, even in the painting, is asking people playfully, hey, you had any critic in you when you were painting that? And people always say, oh, my God, all I kept hearing was, this is so ugly, this is so ugly, this is so messy, this is so ugly. You know, I'm like, I know, what did you do? How did you work it? So it's finding a light way to expose the inner critic. And I have to say, lightness, so it has a lot to do with lightness and the willingness not to take it too seriously and to go, how did you get through? How did you keep going? It's like, I didn't. I got stuck. I called you over. Or, you know, I just said, keep painting, you know. So anyway, we're just smack dab in the middle of this world of the inner critic when we paint, and also with the coaching. You know, it's like, you know, we think we're supposed to be all these things and all these ways, and we realize, oh, my God, we're just starving to just be who we are. And we need to find a way not to have that voice telling us to be safe and be small be correct and be pretty and wear the right thing. We need to find a way to connect with that which just wants to live, you know, that just wants to be here, wants to be seen, doesn't want to just be evaluated. And so, yeah, I think this work with the inner critic is absolutely, absolutely crucial to everything in my life, even still right now, in terms of me having worked with this for many years. It's constantly going, wow, up against another level of conditioning or inner critic, and having to realize, wow, this isn't necessarily the truth here. This is just that part of me that wants me to, you know, be safe. And it's like, I get it, or, you know, palatable. But you know what? I'm here to live. I'm here to be vital. And so I'm going to find support and connections and friends, and I'm going to go for it. So I don't know, when you speak about that as a coach, I don't know. I think it's really exciting. I think this work that we get to do is pretty exciting.
It's so fabulous. I just really appreciate your synopsis that you just gave, because I'm totally relating with Rick, and, you know, I'm just really experiencing a tremendous amount of joy just in our conversation. And you have shared something. We were talking about the inner critic and about how its purpose to keep us safe, right, in the past. And, you know, a lot of the work that we do as coaches, and I know in my practice, we talk about repurposing that inner critic. It's there for a reason. And so just like your coaching and painting clients, they're saying, oh, they want to redo, they want to get rid of the inner critic. But sometimes we need to honor that inner critic, right? We need to celebrate it for what it is and what it's done for us up until today, and then see what other opportunities that inner critic wants to bring into our world. And so, you know, I can speak just from a previous life experience, and then I'm going to have you share one, okay? This is where we get real with Leanne. But, you know, when I was doing a lot of my inner critic work, Julie, I had to name my inner critic. And I had to visualize it. I had to create it. And so I ended up having this mosquito puppet thing with my inner critic, right? And I called it Sucker, because that's just totally what it was doing to me. Not only was it sucking the lifeblood out of me like a mosquito will do, but when I got real judgmental and got in that place of evaluating others, then I was sucking the lifeblood out of them. And that was part of my inner critic, and it still can show up, right? It's something I work on all the time.
Yeah.
Right? But then the really cool thing that happened for me with all of my coaching, which I'm so grateful to all the coaches that I've had in my life to help me kind of weed through all of this, but it was like, oh, how cool. My inner critic is repurposed now. It's no longer a mosquito. And it kind of transformed into this beautiful butterfly. And it was just a real powerful transformation for me to go, okay, now it's not sucking the lifeblood out of me, and nor am I doing that to other people, but is now my purpose and my inner critic's purpose is pollination. It's to start sharing and encouraging and loving on others and helping them to live their best lives so fast into my coaching practice, as well as doing this radio show. And that's just some of my motivation. You know, people will ask me all the time, you've been doing radio for a year and a half. Why? Why are you doing this? And it's, you know, it's all about that. It's providing sacred space. It's providing service and love to others and an amazing free resource, right? Because these are podcasted. People can go back and listen to them. They can take notes. They can push pause, stop. They can cry. They can give feedback. They can share it with their friends and family. And it's part of that pollination process that we have an opportunity, once we let go of that judgment, step into that sacred space and start really living big and not letting that stop us. And so, you know, that's kind of my inner, that's my real inner critic battle that I went through, and super grateful to have my inner critic repurposed. Super grateful that I am not sucking the lifeblood out of other people or letting them suck it out of me anymore, and really, you know, stepping into a legacy of a lifetime that I am excited to live, as opposed to, oh my goodness, I have to perform. or I have to please. And when you said, Julie, about that we just have a desire to be seen and not evaluated, that just so spoke to me. And so much of the work that I do as a coach, and I'm sure you do as well, whether you're in your studio or coaching over Skype or whatever, is we really, that is just such a foundational principle that I think all of us today here can learn from. And so tell us more about what that experience was like for you about just having a desire to be seen but not evaluated, and that inner critic work you did for yourself.
It's totally continues, you know, working with the inner critic, because I, as my horizon shifts, you know, it finds new ways to try to keep me in. And you know what you spoke so beautifully is what happens when we don't have it, the critic in charge. You know, when you spoke about being able to be of service and pollinating, and, you know, for instance, with this radio show and all that, it can kind of, what kind of all life that can come from it, and it's coming from a place of kind of, like you said, your repurposed inner critic. For me, how I relate to that personally is in a very small, very present, very small way. I could be in a workshop, and I could get a hit, you know, that, you know, it really feels like we all just need to sing for a moment. And it'll just come from where, you know, that information. And then the smart me will come and say, well, we don't want to do that because we don't have a song and we don't really know what we're doing when we talk about that. And just that little shutdown right there is, even I would liken that or associate that with the critic, or that which is trying to keep me in a familiar zone, like, what do you mean, saying? And so my work really puts me on that edge where I go, hey, you know, because here we are. People have come pouring into a painting workshop. They haven't signed up for Banking 101. They're here to go outside the box. And here, if I can't be in that, then I'm not of service to them as much either. It's like, how can I, you know, by being free in that moment myself, then I can be a gift, hopefully, to the room or to the moment or to the group experience. So then I've had it before where I said, you know, I just had this hit. I don't know what I'm doing. So it's that being foolish, being a beginner. And I'm like, I just get the sense, let's all stand up and let's pick a note and I'll just start making it up. And that to me is, when you say, how do I experience that? It's that, and I gulp and I don't know what's going to happen. And I think it's that very place, those little places where I don't follow the quote-unquote smart voice that says I don't even know what I'm talking about. This is unscripted. I don't even have anything for us to sing. It might just be a few notes, but I can't do this. Every time I'm able to just go with the flow that was there that said, hey, let's just sing. And then we just sang a few notes together, and then all of a sudden there's this great harmony in the room that no one even tried for. I think those moments when I'm able to go there myself are the shining moments for me in my work. And so it's that very moment where I hear the critic, where I hear that place that wants to keep me, you know, in line, and I go somewhere else instead. I think that's what I live for in my work. And so I'm, in some ways you could say I've created situations where that's what is required of me. And the same is true as a coach. Like, all of a sudden in the room it'll be like, man, I feel like we should just walk. And if I'm able to say in that moment, because I have a big studio, hey, you want to walk around the room for a minute? And they go, huh? I go, come on, just walk with me. When I'm able to do that, what might happen in that moment? And often it's a shift. And it's not because I did something great. It's not the big I. But it's like in that moment where I didn't shut it down, that life force. I didn't shut that little gem down because it wasn't obvious what we were going to do if we just walked around the room. So I think that's a constant, it's a very often experience for me. And I think I live for it in a way. And it's, yeah, so it's not being comfortable, but it's also not like saying, let's all speak Swahili now. You know, it's something that we can do. It's something we can walk around the room. And then all of a sudden, there's that flow. It's not just me. It's not just the other person. There's something else happening. And I think that is where we're of service. I think that's where I'm of service. I think that's where something can happen. So when you spoke about it in that way and how it has freed you up to do things that might seem kind of crazy from a practical standpoint, and you see all the juice and life that comes from it, I think that's right there. That's that zone of reclaiming, and it can be small steps, but that natural something voice that's speaking in there that we stop just because it, you know, it's silly, or you know, it could be, it doesn't have to be a full out blown shutdown critic moment. But anyway, that's how I relate to that. I certainly have all kinds of things in my life I could, you know, that were bigger, oh my gosh moments, you know, where I had to expand and my voice inside said, oh. That's what comes up when you speak about it. It's that what's underneath that kind of appropriate way of living or the silly things we do, you know. And that's where I feel like it comes back to intuition, so intuitive painting or even intuitive coaching, is that how to be guided, how can I be guided as a coach and a painter, as an artist, as a facilitator, by something other than that smart voice or that voice that's the critic saying, you can't do that, you can't do that, even if it's a small one. So I play that edge all the time. And yeah, so it's very real for me. I don't think I had a pinnacle, you know, a moment where my own critic was transformed, but I certainly know moments when I'm right, say creatively, I'm right in the middle of a painting and I realize I have to, just something inside me wants to put a mark right in the middle of the painting. I'm almost done. I've been painting for a few, I don't know, 5 or 6 hours on this painting over a few days. And I still remember one time I did that with one of my paintings and watching my hand shake. I went physically shaking as I went and put that mark in there. So that would be that place of, no, you're going to ruin it. You're going to ruin it. And just saying, but every part of me knows I just need a little mark right there. And so I guess I could say that was one of those moments where when I'm standing next to someone in a workshop, I completely can get it in my body if the fear comes up, because I know what that's like of, oh, my God, I'm going to ruin this. But I also know what's on the other side of that if we just give ourselves that moment. And I still have that painting up actually in my studio right now. It's one of the paintings up in my studio because it means a lot to me, partly because of that experience. I call that a moment of courage. So that would be maybe if I pull that out as an experience where, where it says you can't do it, you're going to screw it up. I certainly have them in life too, not just in painting, but that's what comes to mind.
Love it. And love it. Yeah, that makes me for me too when you were sharing that, Julie. It just, I guess I'm leaning on that in my head. That
Leon, I can't understand you. I can't hear you. I'm sorry. You got really muddled there.
Oh, that's weird. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, much better. Thank you.
Oh wow. Thank you for catching that. Because this is recorded. We definitely want to make sure that people can listen clearly. So you know what really came up for me that was so cool is just being all about what some people would call an unreasonable opportunity, right? And, you know, somebody could have looked at that painting that you were working on. It's like, no, don't put that dot there. Don't make that extra mark.
Oh, yeah.
It's great just the way it is, right? But you just said, no, I'm just going to really listen to my intuition. I'm going to trust myself, and I'm going to embrace this fully for what it is. And what a beautiful place to be able to go yourself as a coach as well as bringing your people there. That's super great. And, you know, you're walking your talk in that. And that's what makes you authentic. And that was part of why I wanted to bring you on the show today.
Yeah.
Was just that whole piece, right? That authenticity piece in you. And being able to, you know, learn more from you about this world. Because I think a lot of us, Julie, have heard about art therapy and different things. But this whole intuitive painting with a coaching flair to it is new to many. I know when I speak about our friendship and how much I've enjoyed getting to know you and what you do with people, they're like, wow, that's new. I've never heard of anything like that before. And so I'm super excited to introduce you, you know, to my community in this way. And so I'm real curious now, as I'm sure some of our listeners are, how is this intuitive painting different than the art therapy model that we've heard so much about over the years?
It's a great question. there's a few different ways, I would say. For one, I'm not trained in art therapy, or neither am I a therapist, A. But I would say in a primary way, in the workshops, in the painting experiences, even on the one-on-one, we will reach moments in our painting when I create, so one of the ways is I create these moments of feedback where, so if it's one-on-one, I will be the person giving feedback on the painting, where we play with the painting in a way that's not just connected to the meaning that it has for the person painting. So it's not with any even positive evaluation of I like it or it's good, but it's about I create this. It's a particular way of feedback that I actually inherited from the woman who I first worked with, who I'd love to credit here. Her name is Maggio, and she is based in Santa Cruz. So that's how I got started in this. I took my own workshop with her, and she does something called transformational painting. And she has a way of working with feedback that's very similar to in dream work. And so that's this process that I've kind of play with in some different ways now with people. But so one of the ways I feel like the intuitive painting workshops or the work I do with people is different than art therapy is that we look at each other's paintings and we dream into them. So we'll say, wow, in my, so say you just were in a workshop, you were just painting, you've been painting for an hour and a half, you were done, we broke for lunch, we came back, and then we gather for feedback. And so we gather in front of everyone's painting one at a time, and I make sure that everybody knows that there's no, I like it, I don't like it. It's a very particular way of giving feedback. But then what we say is, when we're all looking at your painting, one at a time we'll say, in my painting, I see a, you know, dot, 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 whatever it is I see. It could be a sunrise, or it could be I feel like music's being played, or I, you know, even the feedback itself is just very intuitive. And so the person has their experience of painting, like you would have had your experience painting your painting, but the feedback moment allows it to, the painting also to be in a world that's not just about meaning, that's also just about almost like dreaming. What do other people see or feel when they see my painting? And I think that gives us, if this is done right in a way that's, in other words, safe and there's no judgment to it and playfully, it really helps us open up and feel much bigger about our painting work because we realize that it's not just what we think is happening on the page, that the color and the images can mean all kinds of things to people. And I think by and large, most of the time, that really gives people a lot of juice. They really want to keep painting more because they can't just collapse on their painting and say, oh, this is just my relationship with my mother, you know. And instead we might say, wow, this feels like emergence, or this feels like, you know, jazz music, or this. And it's true, you know, if you look at paintings, five different people looking at the same painting will feel or see very different things, unless it's, you know, maybe very realistic, but even still. So I think one way it's not like art therapy is that we're playing with the meaning issue a little bit and letting it also just be paint on paper and allowing everybody to see different things and feel different things from our paintings, and it just opens it up. I think art therapy is beautiful and wonderful. It's just that, and while, you know, I guess the other thing I would say is a lot of times it's very therapeutic doing this intuitive painting. It's not necessarily to interpret or analyze our lives necessarily. It can be, but it can also be, wow, I painted all this anger and, you know, and it has all that meaning for me there. But look, I've got like this landscape and it's a sunrise and there's a horse in the background. It could just be the sheer delight of what happened. So I think feedback's one of the ways that I think if I was going to be doing in the therapeutic process, I think I'd want to keep it a lot closer to what was the experience just for the person, what did they see and feel in it. Now that being said, I'm not an art therapist, but there's a particular way that we can open up the creative process in the workshops to almost leave the therapeutic territory for a bit and have it be almost more like dream work, really.
Mm-hmm.
Dream play. Mm-hmm. I hope that's clear. It's also, I think the other thing is that some people come to these experiences for all different reasons. So in the same room, there'll be one person who is is really just can't imagine being able to let herself play with paint. There'll be somebody else who feels like they got so shut down and told they were so bad at painting in their, when they were like 11 or 12 that they've been scared to paint since, and they've really always wanted to try it. There'll be somebody else who's a professional painter who's kind of sick of their expertise and their small format and their medium and wants to just break out. There'll be somebody who actually does have a something that they would like to just express, like they might really want to just release some anger or some joy or something, but really is coming really for the self-expression of it. But you'll be sitting with a group of people and realizing everybody there has a very different reason to be there. And so part of the opportunity for me is to hold all of those intentions in the room and know that for the person who wants to play, success for them is to be able to play. So if they get stuck, I get to help remind them all they're really here to do is to play. For someone who's really wants to express their rage or their anger, you know, and they start getting caught up in what the painting looks like, I get to remind them, hey, if you still want to go for anger, go for it, man. What would it do, you know, or has it shifted already? But it allows me to partner differently with everybody. And then creating these ways of giving feedback to people as they paint kind of, I think, brings a lot of openness and softening in the room that we don't have to take it too seriously. It doesn't have to be, doesn't have to be what we think is going on with the painting. Somebody else can see something totally different and blah, blah, blah. So that's how I would describe it. But it's a pretty unusual process. There's a lot of, you know, there's quite a few process painters, but I think at this point, I feel like I've kind of created my own, definitely my own approach. And it is somehow absolutely not art therapy and definitely does include the sacred space. And actually, we do paint on black paper. That's also something that I got from Maggio. And we do
acrylic. Okay, so that was going to be a question. Like, if I were to walk into your studio at the beginning of a class, what would I witness? And that was going to be a question that I wanted to ask you today. And so now let me really see it. So why black paper, why acrylic, and not tempera, watercolor, whatever. Share with us. I can't even believe we have like 3 minutes till the top of the hour, but I've been dying to ask you that question. And so...
you got it.
Us.
Hey, would you ask it one more time? I lost your words there just a little bit.
Oh, yeah. So really curious, if I were to walk into your studio, right,
yeah.
What would I witness at the beginning of one of your workshops? What would it look like in your studio? And, you know, why the black paper? Why acrylic, not tempera, not watercolor? Why do you choose the mediums that you have? What significance does that have?
Got it. If you walked into my studio, you would see I've got a studio here where I live in El Rito, and I've got the one in Santa Fe, both large studios. You would see black rolls of black saturated felt paper about 36 inches wide, and I would have already cut the pieces for people about 3 by 4 feet or so for the workshop, and they would all be taped on the outside and ready to get painted on, but not on the wall. You'd see a table with acrylic paints, and palette knives and brushes and sponges and all kinds of paper plates for palettes, all kinds of things. And you'd see a sitting area where we gather, and we've got a table with the runes and the tarot cards, the deck and the book and the animal cards, and again, the candle over there too. And so that if anybody at any point in a one-day or two-day workshop wants to draw a card or do a rune, they can, but they don't have to. And then you'd see a candle also in the middle. So there's two candles going in the middle of our seating area. And if you, when we started, you'd see us all checking in and beginning to create this kind of unarmored, safe environment about sharing, you know, who we are and what it is we're scared might happen or why we're there. I'd be reading a poem. And then when we were actually going over to the painting area, you would see people either putting their papers up horizontally or vertically, wherever they want, whatever height they want. And they would begin with probably bigger brushes, but they'd begin with anything they want, hands, brushes, palette knives. And you'd see people just doing all different kinds of things. Some people might start going for an image. Some people might just be painting just color, just one color after the next. And you'd realize that everybody was going with whatever they had inside themselves to start. And so one of the things that happens in these workshops is that people's paintings really don't end up looking like each other's. So you can't tell that they were painted in the same workshop necessarily. So some people will paint images and some people won't. The one thing that you would notice is the black paper. Black paper just, it's a really cool surface. It's not as intimidating as white. It's also kind of this feeling of the mystery, or that it's not blank, that there's already some kind of something. And I think that black to me is almost this zone of the female, or this mystery female, the unknown. And it I think helps us be less mental with it and less trying to know what we're going to do with a white page. So you've got the black paper. And then the acrylic paint, it just really, although we're really focusing on the process and not the end product, it's incredible to layer and scrape and sponge and just to work artistically with. And you don't have to know how to use any of the brushes or palette knives or anything, but it just lends itself to a pretty artistic evolution. And a lot of process painters use tempera paint, and I just prefer the acrylic, and I like the black, and I like the big pieces. And we usually paint on the same piece for quite a while, so for one-day workshops, we work on the same page. For two-day workshops, we work on the same page for 2 days.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Thank you.
Together. You're welcome.
Oh, I am just excited to participate in a class with you at some point and just really bear witness to that just intuitive painting experience and to, be seen and not evaluated, just to really let those flow and be in the flow and paint big and live big. So thank you, Julie, for walking with me today and introducing us to your coaching process, your method, and definitely your love. I can hear the energy and passion in your voice when you share about the sacred work that you do and how much you really do it. And when you share, this is my life work, I believe you. I so believe you. And I can hear it and see it in my mind's eye. And I just totally appreciate that about you. So we are at the top of the hour. And I am sure our listeners are super curious now on how they could get a hold of you, find out more about your process. Do you do this kind of thing virtually? Do I come to Santa Fe? All of that. So if they want to get in touch with you, Julie, please share your information on how others could reach you.
Great. Yes, they can. People can work with me individually from home in coaching for their lives or for painting. I do online, actually one-on-one Skype sessions with people for painting. They're 2 hours long. Or they can come to a workshop in Santa Fe or in El Rito here. New Mexico, and I've got all of this listed on my website, which is fullbloomcoaching.com. So it's fullbloomcoaching.com. And my phone number, and you can also just call for a complimentary coaching session. I give really nice complimentary coaching sessions, and you can call me at home, 575-581-0024. And I love talking to people on the phone about the process. I actually talk with everybody briefly before they come into a workshop so that we're on the same page and I get to know who's coming. The workshops themselves are small groups. They're usually up to 8 people. So usually between 4 and 8, and I do probably about, 12 a year or so. And I do a lot of one-on-one experiences. I do family. I'm going to do one on New Year's Eve. I'm going to be facilitating a 3-generation family experience in the studio with people painting. And I do a lot of half my work is coaching one-on-one with people who know that they're creative but feel like they're living a little bit too paint by numbers and really want to have more of the uniqueness out there. So any which way, people can contact me at the website. My email is julie@fullbloomcoaching.com.
Yay. Thank you so much for sharing that. And it sounds like people could bring groups to you, you know, small groups, and it could be a great, you know, vision retreat for somebody. It would be a great team building exercise for businesses, all kinds of neat opportunities that you have
I've
to
done
offer,
all of that.
Julie.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes, this is full out, and it's I'm at a really good zone with it right now. I've been going since, I've been painting workshops since 2000, doing workshops since 2006, and I believe coaching since about 2008. And yes, I've done the team building things as well, the 6-hour experiences, the full day experiences for groups. I love all of it. I'd love it if people contacted me if they feel like they heard something that they really want in their life. I am passionate about it, so I'd love to meet whoever that was. So. Leon, I want to thank you so much. I have to tell you, I didn't know it was going to be this much fun. I know it's always fun talking with you, but I feel like we could go for hours. So I appreciate all your time and attention focused on this work that I'm doing and being yourself and all that you are. So much, much love. Yeah.
Oh, right back at you, dear Julie. And I look forward to the next time we can connect in Santa Fe at our ICF meeting, if not before. And listeners, thank you so very much. I do not take it lightly that you have chosen to spend some of your real sacred time with us here on Walk Your Talk with Leanne at Life Coach Radio Network. We are at the end of our show time, and this has been a fabulous episode. I know I have learned a lot, released even more of my inner critic, and just a desire to connect with others in a deeper way. And you can reach me at my website at thewalkyourtalkcoach.com. You can also find me on Twitter and Facebook and Pinterest and LinkedIn. And I really encourage you to reach out to either Julie or myself and, you know, get in touch with that whole place that you have felt stuck about painting by the number or using a stencil, and really set yourself free to be who you were created to be. So again, thank you for joining us here on Life Coach Radio Network. We have 3 different networks here on Blog Talk Radio that you can visit and learn from, be inspired and encouraged. So I invite you to visit lifecoachradionetworks.com and find out more about all of our fabulous radio hosts, our chats that we have the opportunity to bring to you each and every day. So again, this is Leanne Parsons. We are at the end of 2014, and I am so incredibly blessed to have spent this year with each and every one of you. I will be continuing radio into the new year. I have some fabulous and amazing guests that will continue to join me here on Walk Your Talk with Leanne. So please stay tuned for more information. You can also reach me at my number is 505-412-1817. And I look forward to connecting with each and every one of you at some way. And if you know and see people in your world who are walking their talk, please encourage them to reach out to me. I want to get to know them and encourage them. So Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and Happy New Year to each one of you. I wish you well, and I wish you much happiness as you walk into 2015. Thanks, Julie, so much for being here. And, oh, my goodness, big hugs from Los Alamos down to El Rito. And until next time, God bless and be well.
Ciao.